be familiar with. It's Mr. Grant Kirkwood. He's the founder of Unitas Global. He founded Unitas because he saw a need for managed end-to-end information technology outsourcing solutions that rely heavily on IT infrastructure, but don't want to focus on it as a core function of their business. The company's mission is to deliver high performance, highly available IT infrastructure as a single comprehensive service. He brings 15 years of senior management and entrepreneurial experience in tech companies to Unitas. Prior to founding Unitas, he served as CTO at Packet Exchange, a global network service provider headquartered in London, North America, and with operations throughout North America, Europe, and Asia. Please welcome Grant Kirkwood to Cloud Computing East.
Hello. Okay, before I start, everybody pretend just for a second that I said something really funny right now. Oh, good. Okay, this is going to work. I was really worried about this. I'm from Unitas Global. We're the enterprise private cloud company. Don't laugh at that part. By way of introduction, we are a global company. We operate in 130 data centers around the world. We serve primarily mid to large enterprise, state, federal, and local government, multinational corporations. So Marty asked me to talk a little bit about workflow today, and as it relates to implementation of cloud. Being that we're a private cloud company, I'm going to focus primarily on workflow within the private cloud, but I think it's pretty applicable to most cloud deployment. So a couple quick things just to kind of frame the conversation. We know that implementing private cloud within an organization is not necessarily easy. It's still pretty new. Particularly when you're looking at moving things towards a more open source cloud environment. There's a lot of options, and in all of those options, sometimes the real benefits kind of get forgotten. So we get to talk to lots of CIOs. We do surveys all the time with our clients and with non-clients and prospective clients, and at events like this. And we find out there's an overarching trend in terms of what people see as the perceived benefits of cloud. There's kind of the marketing benefits, and we all know about these things, and they are very much real day-to-day benefits of cloud. But what we overwhelmingly hear is that focus and agility within the organization are the two things that people say, this is really the magic for me when it comes to cloud. At the end of the day, cloud is really all about enabling applications and enabling the users within an organization to interact with them. And what we typically find is that applications are very specific to the organization. So a healthcare company has their electronic medical records application. Well, the people that live and breathe within that company, they're going to be experts at that application. The infrastructure that supports it tends to be fairly common across companies. Routers are routers, switches are switches, servers are servers. There's lots of vendors, and everybody's going to tell you that theirs is best. But at the end of the day, they kind of do most of the same stuff. And really, the underlying premise in all of this is that if we move to a cloud environment where somebody else is dealing with that infrastructure, we get the focus back. And that enables the second part, which is if the underlying infrastructure becomes more agile, the rest of the organization can achieve agility as well. So cloud really, if we think about it, it's those two key benefits that are really unique, and this is what's driving the transformation. So we talk to a lot of clients. There's kind of certain data that comes out of this. There's some themes that we hear from over and over. We hear this every day, that stuff's not getting done, or maybe it's not getting done as quickly, or it's a disastrous crash like this. This is from Sochi. We hear this, and actually a client of ours sent this to me. He said, Grant, you know, my IT team, we're surviving, but we're not progressing. I thought that was a really interesting statement. His point was that they had the team and resources to kind of keep up with the day-to-day demands of the IT department, but they weren't really achieving the strategic initiatives that they wanted to achieve, or maybe not as quickly as they wanted to. So we look at cloud. And as an organization that's looking at cloud for the first time, there's a couple other problems that immediately pop up. Where do we go? There's a lot of different directions. This is the power of Photoshop. Nervous laugh. There's a lot of options. I mean, you know, we could talk for the next 3 hours about all the different options that exist in the cloud space. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of ways to go. There's a lot of options, and it turns into a lot of noise. And there's 1,000 cloud companies out there solving little problems in the cloud space. But if you're a company or an organization or an institution that's saying, I want to achieve the benefits of cloud within my organization, and it's your first time doing it, who do you listen to? Where do you go? So back to workflow in the public sector. How do we actually achieve these benefits within the cloud space? The good news is that the challenges here are not necessarily unique. Security is always top of mind. I mean, I've never heard a client come to us and say, cloud's cool, I'm not worried about security. It's just never happened. Workflow automation is really interesting because what we've found is a lot of companies have kind of forgotten to cloud optimize their internal workflow. And so they destroy some of the benefits that cloud could potentially bring to the organization. And making it easy to use. Oftentimes, we forget about that too. This applies to everybody, right? You could make the argument that different organizations have different kind of degrees in these different categories, but really these are pretty common. I mentioned we're a private cloud company, so why private? Obviously security, but this is usually where I would hand out a bunch of toothbrushes. Does anybody share their toothbrush with a stranger? Anybody? Nobody would raise their hand because everybody would look at them awkwardly. Like, well, I don't. Now, that's not to say that's the only answer, but that's our particular take as a company, is that private cloud is an enablement of security within the cloud space. So why is workflow important? There's a lot of reasons. Ease of use, in my mind, is number one. And this isn't just making a pretty interface with easy-to-use buttons or an iPhone app or something like that. It really says that if you don't make the workflow that goes into provisioning cloud resources easy within your organization, it's not going to be adopted. And we've seen this over and over and over again. We had a large governmental client that spent a whole bunch of money building out a private cloud environment, and they had paper forms for spinning up VMs. True story. And they couldn't figure out why nobody was using it, and people were turning in expense reports with Amazon on their expense reports. So we said, okay, you know, good job on the technology, poor on the workflow. It also impacts how projects work their way through a complex IT organization. I can't distill the internal politics of a large organization on a PowerPoint slide, so I took some creative license with this. But typically what we see is that an idea starts somewhere, whether it's a new program, a new process, a new application, starts somewhere, gets approved, goes in a bunch of directions, lands in the lap of the application team, the people that actually have to go and implement it. And they go and wrangle up all these other teams that are responsible for different areas within the infrastructure. It gets pretty messy pretty quickly. I had another client send me this next slide. I almost took it out, but then I remembered this was kind of late in the day and everybody probably wanted to laugh. He said, Grant, you know, getting all of these teams working together, I was in a room with 15 different teams, and he pointed to one guy. He said, yeah, he's the tool guy. He's the storage guy. He's the network guy. He said, it's kind of like herding cats, and he sent me this. If you can't read that, it says, I think I'd rather manage a large software deployment project. So what does a cloud-enabled workflow process actually look like? Still starts at the top. And we're just going to make the assumption that you've also optimized the kind of sideway divergence. What we provide through private cloud in a software called Cloud Control is the ability to provision across all of those different architecture types in a really easy-to-use way. We support that with the workflow and process so that our clients can actually take advantage of those benefits. So how do we help? Enterprise private cloud has a couple of key tenets to it. It's custom, which means that everything that goes into it, we've picked specifically for that client. That's usually following a pretty deep, in-depth design process. It's private, so everything that we build does not touch any other client. We literally, from the ground up, they're completely distinct. They're fully managed. Again, put your focus back on the application. They're secure because we design from the ground up and each one is unique. We can design then the security infrastructure that's required to meet any kind of compliance or regulatory requirements. And end-to-end is also really important. We actually think that cloud begins on the screen where the user's interfacing with an application, and it ends where that application lives within the infrastructure and everything in between. So that includes things like network, and that's a big difference from the way a lot of people look at this. We also do provide cloud both hosted in third-party data centers, on-prem and off-prem. So we typically find, like I said, that most organizations are looking at implementing cloud within their organization for the first time. It's hard to have experience doing something when you haven't done it before. This is the obligatory logo slide, again, Fortune 500 clients. This is Mount Huishen in China. It's about 4,000 feet high. That little kind of snaking thing there on the side are two wooden boards attached to the cliff with kind of rusty nails. It's really important to know where you're going and what lies ahead when you're implementing a complete, a very complex project like private cloud. If you're not properly equipped to do so, it's going to be a problem. It's like a one-strap sandal. It's not even a real sandal. I apologize if I'm turning anybody's stomach after lunch. It really is that scary. Another thing is somebody who's actually implemented complex cloud deployments before knows what lies ahead, hopefully. You don't want to get caught in a sticky spot. There is actually a chain there. It's, you know, and they're strapped on again with those rusty nails. But I do have to point out, this doesn't mean that I'm suggesting cloud is dangerous, but you don't want to get stuck in a sticky spot. So one of the things that we provide is called cloud control. I mentioned it earlier. It's essentially the web interface that our end users, the actual consumers of IT resources within an organization, this is what they interface with. It's super easy to use. We call it your own private Amazon. It's even easier, I think. We have good UX people. And then we have another software platform called Mission Control, which is what the CIO and the IT team interacts with. And this provides complete transparency and visibility into everything that's going on within the infrastructure, including the applications, the whole end-to-end IT lifecycle. So when we build private cloud deployments, we combine these two things together. We do also, we don't provide hybrid cloud solutions, but we do provide the capability to burst into public clouds. This is something that's we're starting to see prevalence within our client base. So a quick case study. We had a Fortune 500 healthcare provider. They're in 20 states or so. And it was kind of an amalgamation of a wrap-up of a whole bunch of smaller healthcare providers. And so they kind of sucked all these into the mothership, and then they realized, ooh, we don't have any kind of centralized data center strategy. So being a healthcare company, they went out in the desert, they bought some land, they built a data center from the ground up, spent a ton of money doing it. They were really proud. In fact, in the lobby, there's like this gold-plated shovel with the CEO's signature on it. They opened that up and they said, okay, that was great. We're not a data center company. We're not going to do that again. And so they're running it, and they consolidated everything. When it came time for them to build out a disaster recovery data center, they came and they said, well, maybe cloud's the right answer for us, but we want it to be private. We want it to be secure. We don't want it in some kind of multi-tenant infrastructure. So they hired us to build them an enterprise private cloud solution. And so we provide that to them on a fully managed basis. A funny thing happened. We put Mission Control and Cloud Control on top of it, and all their users started saying, wow, this is so much easier to consume. And that drove cloud adoption within the company. That's the easy way up that mountain, by the way. most people take that down instead of up, which is crazy to me. But like I said, so we are in 130 data centers around the world. A lot of those are Equinix facilities, but we are completely vendor and service provider agnostic. We have offices around the world, including here in DC. And like I said, we build on and off-prem private cloud infrastructure and meet all of the major regulatory certifications. That's it.